This morning on Wake Up With Hope, we're making giant beans.
Our friends from Livit are also joining us to share important health tips on the Mediterranean diet.
We also have music from Kate Garriga and more.
Come along with us. Happy Monday morning, friends, and thank you for joining us this morning at Wake Up With Hope.
How was your weekend, friends? We really pray that you had a wonderful weekend. Today is International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women.
According to the United Nations, violence against women and girls remains one of the most prevalent and pervasive human rights violations in the world. Globally, an estimated 736 million women, almost one in three, have been subjected to physical and or sexual intimate partner violence, non-partner sexual violence, or both, at least once in their life.
That's so sad. Unfortunately, an increasingly cyber world has intensified this, and post-pandemic effects have exacerbated it as well.
So today, take steps to learn more about this unfortunate statistic and what you can do to help. You know, it's time to begin our program today by taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history, in 1963, 3 days after his assassination in Dallas, Texas, John F. Kennedy was laid to rest with full military honors at Arlington National Cemetery in Virginia. The 35th President of the United States was shot while riding in an open car motorcade with his wife and Texas Governor John Connally. Alleged assassin Lee Harvey Oswald, a former Marine and communist sympathizer, was charged with the crime. Kennedy was pronounced dead 30 minutes after arriving at Parkland Hospital. He was 46 years old.
You know, the tragic death of John F. Kennedy reminds us of the brevity of life and the pain of loss. But as we follow Jesus, we can hold on to the promise of hope beyond the grave. The Bible teaches us that death is a temporary sleep, a state of rest, until Jesus returns. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, we are assured that the Lord himself will come down from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So, though we may face the sorrow of death in this life, we can take comfort in the knowledge that our loved ones are restfully sleeping, awaiting the glorious day of Christ's return. And when he comes, he will awaken his followers to eternal life, free from pain, death, and suffering. Jesus himself said in John chapter 11, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, though they die. What a promise that is.
Amen. Well, friends, beans are full of fiber and other minerals that are a sure health booster. This morning, Gia is in the kitchen making not just beans, but giant beans.
Gigantes literally means giant beans. Now, this is a staple in the Greek diet, and you'll find it at any Greek restaurant when you're over there. Gigantes. So don't forget that, okay? Try to say it. Now, I'm going to show you a way of making it, which is cheating, because my mum and grandmother, if they were here right now, they would be very upset, because really you have to soak them overnight, you have to boil them twice over, but I'm actually using cans. And I just thought I'd make it easier for people to actually be able to cook these Greek foods because they're healthy, and I'm doing cans today. So these are 5 cans of giant beans, which are butter beans. So you can find them at any supermarket. And I am using 1 chopped onion. Now the onion and the garlic really makes Greek dishes. They love this stuff. And dill, I'll put some of it there and I'll leave some for the top as well. I've put 2 cans of tomato in here, just diced tomato. They don't really do this, but I'm gonna do this just to make it easier. And I add 2 tablespoons of olive oil. You can't have a Greek dish without olive oil. You know that. Actually, 2 tablespoons is very little for what they usually do. And I'm going to add a little bit of water and some salt. 1 teaspoon, depending on how salty you want it. And look at how much garlic I've got here. Check this out. I have so much garlic and so much dill on my hands. Don't you love that? Anyway, so I'm going to throw all that garlic, as much as you want, in that sauce. And I'm going to blend it just a touch, just enough to blend it through. And then I'm going to pour it on top. It's blend. I don't want it to go crazy. Okay, that's all you need to do. Blend it for a touch. And pour on top. Once you mix it through, you might want to add just a touch of water just to give it a bit more time in the oven to cook slowly, because you'll need to cook this in the oven for maybe around 40 minutes. Once it starts to bubble and starts to reduce, you'll be able to tell. And I'll put it in the oven and then we will show you the end result. So our yigadesa are ready, and I wish you were here to actually smell it. It smells amazing. And if you can see, they need to be dried out a little bit. So you cook them for about 40, 45 minutes. That's how long they've been in there. Make sure they're nice and dry like that. And they plate it up. If I was in Greece right now, there would be some feta cheese on the side of this and some Greek bread to mop it all up.
Our friends from Live It are joining us this morning to share on the Mediterranean diet. Should you make the switch? Let's find out.
What comes to mind when you think of the Mediterranean? Perhaps a pristine Italian coastline, or a dream vacation destination? Or how about food? The Mediterranean diet has many health benefits that can lower our risk for heart disease.
It's a sobering reality that 1 in every 4 deaths in America is a result of heart disease. One of the main risk factors is having high cholesterol. Cholesterol is a waxy, fat-like substance, and when your body makes too much of it, it can build up on the walls of your arteries. This buildup restricts the amount of blood and oxygen carried throughout your body and can result in a stroke, heart attack, or other forms of heart disease.
Eating a traditional Mediterranean diet lowers our risk for heart disease.
The traditional Mediterranean diet is legumes and vegetables, whole grains, fruits, nuts, olive oil instead of butter and other types of fat, small amounts of dairy products, and small amounts of meat.
The Mediterranean diet has many health benefits because it contains high amounts of antioxidants, protein, and omega-3s.
But you should shift from avoiding fats entirely to adding healthy fats into your diet that fight bad cholesterol.
To get the good unsaturated fats, substitute olive oil, nuts, and seeds, as well as avocados, into your diet. You can use olive oil for salad dressings, stir fry, make desserts, or replace butter by dipping your bread in olive oil.
The fats in olive oil are mostly monounsaturated, which help lower cholesterol.
The second tip is eat more legumes like beans, lentils, and garbanzos. A traditional Mediterranean food like hummus is made from garbanzo beans and oil from whole sesame seeds. Try adding hummus to your next sandwich or use it as a dip for pita bread, carrot sticks, and other vegetables.
The third tip is to eat more nuts and seeds like almonds and walnuts. One thing you can try is instead of having a candy dish on the table, fill it with almonds. This way, as you and your family members walk by, you'll pick up a quick and healthy snack. There's your tip for the day on how you can live healthier longer.
Kate Garriga is joining us now this morning to bless us in song as she sings, He Cares, He Cares.
God is so, so good, and He helps us learn how to be like Him. And He cares for us, and He guides us by His Holy Spirit. When you think of how He answers prayer, you see Almighty Alpha and Omega. maker. He is shining brighter than the light. He cares, he cares. Yeah, he cares. All of us, he cares, he cares. Yeah, he cares. God is merciful. He is kind and true. I wanna be like you. He will be my guide. When I fall, I'll rise by His Spirit. Hear the nature around us speak. His almighty hand written all over, all over. Shining brighter than the light. He cares, he cares. Yeah, he cares. Love of us, he cares, he cares. Yeah, he cares. As I sing these words, by His grace I learn, He's watching over me. I don't wanna make promises I'll break, not to Jesus. He's my God and He's my Savior. He's the only Alpha and Omega. How to be like Him.
Are you enjoying today's show? Well, inspire someone else and share us with a friend. Or you can visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more inspiring content. And subscribe to our YouTube channel to keep up with us.
We'll see you in just a minute. Wake Up with Hope will be right back.
Welcome to a world of creators. Make your own story, invent yourself. This is what they say. But what are we really creating? Isn't the so-called new more of the same? Aren't we perhaps just reproducing, repeating, and imitating? It takes more than just a crave to create. To make an idea come alive is to give it some of your own life. Creation is a process that takes time, energy, passion, planning. It's art and effort, and ultimately a way of existing beyond self. And that's where copying becomes convenient, and control demands the coercion of creativity. But we have been invited not only to observe, but to collaborate and co-create with the One who is infinite in ideas, power, and resources. We were granted the honor to join hands with the Maker of all things. Entrusted His creation to our care. He expects us to do it. To believe the new creation will bring the annihilation of what was first created is to reject God's work as something good. More than a name or a signature, creations and creatures carry the existence of their creators. And that is precisely what makes them unique, exquisite, precious. So when the essence of the Creator remains unchanged, so will be the nature of His work. God is love, and His creation is an outpouring of this love. Welcome to the world of the Creator. He knows your story from beginning to end. He made you in His own image and invites you to be His partner in the everlasting work of creation.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. We pray your day is starting off on the right foot as you soak in the love found in Jesus.
This morning, Pastor Puya Finai joins us to share an inspiring devotional thought.
Hello, friend. Thank you so much for joining me today as we talk about life and how to live every day with hope. I want to ask you this question as we begin our time together today. Have you ever found yourself in a place where it seemed like you are about to give up on life itself? Well, it's a very serious question, so stay with me. In the Bible, we found the story of a man named Elijah, who was used by God mightily. He was able to pray to God, and fire came down from heaven, burning down the altar where Elijah sacrificed to God, showing the power of God to all the people who were worshiping other idols. Elijah was able to pray to God and fire came down. I mean, just think about that. Like, this man prayed and fire literally came down in answer to his prayer. So if there was ever a man who probably should not give up on life, probably it was Elijah. But you see, we find a very interesting situation here in his story. If we go to 1 Kings chapter 19 in the Bible, we find the story where Jezebel, the queen, wanted to kill Elijah and told him that he was going to be executed. Now, come with me to 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 3. And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, "It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's." Take my life. Elijah prayed to God out of the desperation of his heart, finding himself so depressed with his situation that someone was hunting him down. Didn't he just experience the power of God on Mount Carmel, where he was able to see God answering his prayers by sending down fire? And yet, Elijah was so depressed to the point that he asked God that God would take his life away. Wow, that's interesting. I believe there's so much lesson packed in here for us. Right? Oftentimes people associate depression and anxiety and mental health issues as things that are happening because of our lack of faith. Well, according to the story of Elijah, that's not the case. You know, if Elijah could find himself in a place where he was depressed to the point of giving up on his life, none of us are immune to this, right? None of us are immune to this problem of life. But we need to remember that it is the enemy who causes us to lose hope. It's never God. It's never God. I once read this story when I was a teenager about a parable where one man went to a marketplace to buy things. And in that market, according to this story, he found Satan himself sitting down in that market and selling his tools. And Satan was selling all kinds of instruments that he was using to tempt people away from God. And this man in the story asked Satan, how much is this tool of temptation? How much is this tool of sex that you are using to tempt people away? How much is this tool of pride? How much does it cost to use this? So on and so forth. And do you want to guess what was the most expensive tool that Satan used to tempt people away from God? Well, in this story, when that person asked Satan, Satan, what is your most expensive instrument to take people away from God? Satan replied, well, among all my instruments, the most expensive instrument that I consider as the most useful to take people away from God is hopelessness. Hopelessness? Why is it that a better tool for Satan than other temptations? Well, apparently, if someone has given up, if someone is hopeless, that person is no longer motivated. But back to the story of Elijah. Even though Satan used his instrument, one of his best instruments, depression and hopelessness on him, the beautiful part of the story is that God never gave up on Elijah. Instead, God spoke to Elijah, sent an angel to give him food, to let him rest, and sent him on a journey. And God spoke to Elijah through a still small voice. Friends, when we find ourselves in moments when we are depressed and hopeless, we need to remember this story of Elijah. We can draw the spiritual lesson that maybe, like Elijah, we just need a break. Maybe we just need rest. And we need to trust God amidst our hopeless situation. That just because from our perspective things seemed hopeless, it's not hopeless from the perspective of God. You may wonder, why was Elijah so hopeless? Well, if we continue reading from that chapter, 1 Kings chapter 19, we find this interaction between God and Elijah. Come with me to verse 9. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? So he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Well, Elijah thought that he was the only person left who was still following God. But the good news in verse 18 is God replied, God said to Elijah, yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. So, my dear friend, the lesson here is that from the perspective of Elijah, it seemed like all hope is gone. But from the perspective of God, there's so much more. There's a bigger picture. No matter what situation you and I may find ourselves today, maybe like Elijah giving up on life, like, God, I don't want to live anymore. It's too much. I can no longer take it. The voice of God is telling us today, it's not over yet. It's not the end yet. Just rest a while. You still have a journey to go. And the good news is that God is telling us there is a bigger picture that you don't see. In your hopeless situation, in my hopeless situation, God has some much bigger plans that He wants to show us. And the moment Elijah realized that, he got up and God said, okay, now to the next assignment. So, my dear friend, don't give up on life. God still has a plan for you. So let's live today with hope, with that promise in the Word of God, that God has the bigger picture for our future. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Pastor Puya.
And thank you so much, friends, for being with us here today and watching Wake Up With Hope.
Please join us tomorrow as Jesus 101 will be with us to share a morning devotional. We'll have a dedicated prayer session and more.
And if you enjoyed today's messages and you would like to learn more about the Bible, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Our free Bible studies are sure to make a significant impact in your life. So again, friends, that's hope.study.
And before we go, we want to share with you a Bible promise. And today's Bible promise comes from John chapter 6, verse 35.
Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty."
You know, friend, God has promised to be by our side, to fill us spiritually, and to nurture our souls. He only asks that we come to Him. So friends, won't you come to Him today?
Amen. What a beautiful promise to hold on to today and cling to Jesus as our sure guide and friend. We wish you a happy Monday.
Let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, today, Lord, we come to you. We turn to you because in you, we find the greatest satisfaction of any hunger or thirst that we could ever have deep within our hearts. I pray, Lord, that today you would remain with us, abide with us, not just for this moment, but throughout the day and every day until the day comes when we will see your face. Come soon, Lord Jesus, and we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.